So you have just become a Christian. What do you do now? How does a person get started? That's our topic for this podcast from RookieChristian.org. Track 1. Feed your new life. Read the Bible. The Bible is God's Word, and God's Word is food for our souls. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." One thing about babies is you don't have to insist they eat. If they are healthy, they let you know they are hungry. Another thing about a baby is you don't have to put them on a rack and stretch them or make them do special exercises. Just keep feeding them and they grow up. So here again is 1 Peter 2:2. "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." The Bible feeds our souls and makes us grow. It tells us the truth about God, about ourselves, and about the world around us. The Bible grounds us in reality. It reprograms our negative and selfish thinking to help us think in ways that are more generous and kind. It resets our emotions to help us have better attitudes about the things we're going through. So, first, buy a good Bible with a good size typeface. Avoid the small print. Buy a modern translation. Those who are not big readers may find the New Living Translation helpful, but the English Standard Version and the Christian Standard Version are accurate translations and readable. There are 66 books in the Bible. So where do you start? Here's a suggestion for your first four. Mark is one of four books on the life and ministry of Jesus on earth. It's a quick read, so start there. After Mark, a good book to read is Ephesians. Pay close attention to the descriptions of what God has done in the lives of Christians. After Ephesians, read the Gospel of John. It is about the life and ministry of Jesus like Mark, but is written in a different style and has some different stories about Jesus. After the Gospel of John, turn toward the back of your Bible and read the first Epistle of John. This 5-chapter book has as its theme, how can we know? How can we know our prayers are being answered? How can we know that we're really God's children? Things like that. It's okay to underline verses, check mark key phrases, circle key words, and things like that. Do it in a way that works for you. As you begin your daily reading each day, ask God to speak to you through His Word and take note each day of what was for you the key verse, the one that spoke most clearly to you on that day. Track 2. Connect with God. Pray. If reading our Bible is how God speaks to us, then prayer is how we converse with God. We stay connected to Him through prayer. The Bible says in Jude verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Notice, if we are going to be built up stronger in the faith, it is going to require a vital connection to the Lord. So, with the Holy Spirit's help, we pray. Prayer doesn't require a special vocabulary, but it does require an honest heart. It isn't a secret skill. It is simply talking with God. Here are some ideas about how to begin. As you pray, thank God for something He has done for you in the last day or two. Then, praise God for being so good and generous and wise and powerful. God does those good things because He is good. Ask God to guide you in your upcoming decisions. Ask Him to give you strength to live as you ought to live, to enable you to resist temptation, to represent Him well around others, to do your job well, to be a good family member at home. Tell God about your concerns and your problems, and your fears. Ask Him to step into the situation and help you. Pray for your family, for your friends, especially those who don't yet know the Lord, and those who are going through a hard time right now. Open your heart to the Lord. He already knows what's in there. You may as well be honest and put your trust in Him. Track 3. Keep the fire burning. Fellowship with other Christians. We all take on the values, language, and mannerisms of the people we hang out with. To some degree, we're all products of our environment, but we can choose our environment. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." Several things in this verse stand out. First, it tells us not to neglect meeting together with other Christians. Next, it tells us that there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who do, in fact, neglect fellowship with other believers. And twice, he lets us know that fellowship is not just about what we get out of it. It says to take others into consideration, to think about how to stir up one another to love and good works, and how to encourage one another. Fellowship is not all about you, and it's not just about attending the church show. Fellowship is when we spend time with fellow Christians sharing the most important things in life together. There is the often told story about an old pastor who went to visit a member who had been missing the services and fellowship of the church. It was on a winter day when he went to make his visit. The man welcomed his wise old pastor into his home. They chatted about this and that. The pastor mentioned that his friend had been missed in church. The man replied that he just didn't feel the need for it, that he was just as strong of a Christian without the fellowship. Without saying a word, the pastor took the poker and raked one of the glowing orange coals onto the hearth. They continued making small talk as the glowing hot ember cooled and turned gray. The pastor gave his friend a glance to see if he had realized the significance, and the man had, and replied, "I get it, Pastor. I'll be back this Sunday." Track 4, telling our friends. When someone has a good time on vacation, they tell their friends about where they stayed. If we find a really good product, we tell others about it. It's not that we're trying to impose upon our friends some new shampoo. We're just telling our friends about a good experience or a new product that has been helpful. Surely this should be true about our Christian faith. In Acts 1:8, Jesus told his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." A witness is someone who tells what he saw, heard, and experienced. A changed life is important, but it is also necessary to use words. It would seem we wouldn't want to get to Judgment Day to have our friends ask us, "Why didn't you tell me?" It's not as though now that you are a Christian, you have to become obnoxious, someone people avoid. God doesn't expect you to become an enforcement officer in His morality police. So here are some thoughts about how to tell your friends about the Lord Jesus without being offensive. First, talk about it in the first person. "I have accepted Jesus, and it's making a huge difference in my life." Avoid using the word "you." That communicates you are sitting in judgment on them. Be prepared to tell your story in one sentence, in one paragraph, in 1 minute. Invite your friend to attend church with you, but be willing to take no for an answer. You could send them a link or give them a book or a booklet on the Christian faith and ask them what they thought of it later. There are Christian books on how to handle all kinds of problems. You could ask your pastor about a book for a friend who is going through a hard time. If your friend isn't interested today, pray and stay alert. They may be more open later. You became a Christian because someone told you. Don't let it stop with you. Track 5. Jesus is Lord. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That is, we are to set apart Jesus as Lord and Master in our hearts. Of course, Jesus is already Lord. We don't get a vote on that. We can rebel against the Master. We can ignore the Master. But Jesus is still Lord. But we can honor Him as Lord and obey Him as the Master should be obeyed. What that means for us is that we renounce the right to make the final choices in our lives. Jesus has the final say. Jesus is Lord. Jesus once asked, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Luke 6:46. This is a whole new way of thinking for most people. What we often hear from others in both attitude and word is something along these lines. "No one's going to tell me what to do." Well, if that includes God, there's a problem. We have the right to make our choices, but not the power to determine the consequences of our choices. As we grow as Christians, there is an ongoing process where we learn to trust Jesus to have the best plan for our lives, learning that His ways are better than our ways, and He is worthy of our supreme devotion and sacrifice. Jesus is Lord. Track 6. What do I do if I mess up? Well, there's no if to it. You are going to mess up. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 6 says, "God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So there's no if to it. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And the closer to the light we get, the more the dirt shows up. However, 1 John 1:9 gives us one of the most precious promises in all the Bible. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession means we face up to what we did and own up to what we did. Confession is agreeing with God that what we did was wrong and turning away from it. And when we confess our sins, God is faithful. He sticks with us and forgives our sins. If a sin comes to mind you need to confess, admit to the Lord what you have done. Call it by name. Tell Him you are sorry. Ask Him to give you power to repent of that sin and not repeat it. There's a saying, "Confess them as you does them, and not bunch them." You are going to need this verse. Find it in your Bible and mark it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Track 7. Rely on the Lord. Here's another great promise and a good note on which to conclude this podcast. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. This is from the New Living Translation. The Christian life is too hard for us. We are not strong enough or smart enough, nor do we have enough willpower to live this life in our own power. We don't always know what to do. And when we come to those moments, the Bible tells us what to do. Trust in the Lord. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. And God promises to show us which path to take, to direct our steps. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. This podcast has come to you from rookiechristian.org, providing free information for new believers just getting started in the Christian life.